will go. We are at the continuity of scripture class on Sunday morning, and we are in the topic under studying the topic of understanding the one story of scripture. It is, you know what, I put week three. We're beyond week three. I'm getting it mixed up. This is week four. This is week four. And it's Understanding Christmas Part 3. Can I start? Okay, so we are in Understanding Christmas Part 3. We might have like 25 parts to this understanding. I'm kidding on that. But, and the date is November 2nd. Yeah, I do need one. Thank you. November 2nd, 2025. Okay. We are trying to understand. We are understanding. We're not trying to understand. We are understanding the one story of Scripture. And I'm using Christmas for this. And my intention was to speak about Christmas through one passage in Luke 1, verses 68 to 79 in Zechariah's benediction. But then I thought there's so much more in Christmas. And I really, truly believe that understanding these passages that sometimes don't get mentioned in Christmas cantatas. Well, who would, although, in Christmas cantatas, who would speak about Simeon? Have you ever gone to a Christmas play about with Simeon in it, with Anna? I played Anna. I forgot about it. Remember? This was going back many years. I never played Miss America. It's always a bag lady that they had me playing, and then I played Anna, who might have been 104 years old when we read about her. That takes the cake. But I love those parts because then I disguise my voice and everything, and it's great. So, but anyway, we're looking at these people that God is introducing to us, maybe for the first time. And from what we've studied about Christmas thus far, because we're connecting it so dramatically to the Old Testament. So when people, some believers, and I mentioned this weeks ago, some believers will say that the New Testament reinterprets the Old Testament. No, it can't. Then you might not be celebrating Christmas. That's what we should ask. If somebody says, well, the New Testament reinterprets the Old Testament, then say, well, I guess you're not celebrating Christmas this year. Okay. All right. Let's look at Luke. Luke 2:25-32. And you need to turn to it because it's a chunk, and we've got a lot of chunks of scripture today. I'll read it though. So Luke 2:25-32, and it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout." Now, do you ever think of Old Testament saints? Because really, we're still in the Old Testament side of things when we read through the Gospels, because Jesus wasn't crucified yet. He wasn't risen from the dead yet. So we're still talking about the Old Testament economy, okay? And he was waiting. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I'm smiling when I'm reading this passage because it's great. Verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And Christ in the Greek means the anointed one, all right? Messiah in the Hebrew means anointed one, who is God, who is eternal. Verse 27, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law," you need to jot down verse 21, on that, because in verse 21 it talks about Jesus being circumcised. Okay, so when they brought him in, the child, at the very moment when Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus into the temple for his circumcision, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Isn't that a fantastic passage, David?
I just looked up the word consolation.
We're going to get to it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just hold on, okay? Because I was just going to ask, actually, well, let me just say Simeon connects, and this is on your handout. Simeon connects Jesus' birth to the Hebrew Scriptures. Simeon was a just and devout Jewish man in Jerusalem waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does it mean?
Paraclete.
Huh?
Paraclesis is the Greek word.
Oh, okay.
Comforter.
Yeah.
Comforter.
Yeah.
Or the
exactly.
Paraclete.
And that's what the Holy Spirit. It's called, look how much was talked about the Holy Spirit in these several verses. Thank you. And now we would say consolation means consoling, if we had to give an immediate answer, not looking it up anyplace, but paraclesis.
It's so. A comforter, though.
But the comforter, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And that's what he's talking about, and that's what we're going to go into. Why Israel, let me put it this way first, consoling whom? Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's very specific. It's not just consoling, it's not just comforting. It's comforting whom?
Israel.
Why Israel?
Because the Messiah was promised to Israel.
Right. Amen. Yeah, and that, does that sound kind of unique-ish? Diane says yes. Do you believe that the Messiah was promised to Israel?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, that's what I said on Tuesday when we had our friend Rita with us. You know, and I said, God promised the Jewish people the Messiah. And I said the Messiah was offered to the Gentiles. Because when you read the scripture, the Jewish people were told, share about Jesus, share the gospel with the Gentiles. And you see that so clearly through the scripture. So we had one of the ladies, a strong believer in Jesus, at the discussion. And she said, I never heard that before. And she was okay. She wasn't saying, what am I, chopped liver? You know, she didn't say anything like that. So definitely because he was promised. You can put down Isaiah 7:14. Unto us, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. But the us part better seen in Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And who's the us? The Jewish people. Isaiah is writing it, and he's one of the prophets, and he's sharing this with his Jewish people in times that were really, really difficult. Okay. And actually, have we realized that the entire, now hear me out on this, okay, and I'm looking for some interaction. The entire Hebrew Scriptures and the Gospels, okay, focus on Israel. And Acts focuses on Israel, right? Because at Pentecost, the church was birthed. Pentecost occurred on the Jewish Feast of Weeks. So all these Jewish people were in Jerusalem gathering when the Holy Spirit descended and indwelled believers, and about 3,000 of them, Acts 2:41, came to faith. Came to faith in Jesus. And the Jewish people had brought proselytes with them to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Proselytes are those Gentiles who have come to believe in the one true God of Israel. All right, and you find the proselytes noted in Acts 2:10 if you're looking for it. So we've got that going on in Acts, and then from Acts we go on to the rest of the New Testament, all the way to Jude, and then you have Revelation that coincides with a lot of the books, the prophetic books from the Old Testament. So it's very Jewish, the whole Bible, right? So God has a reason for it. God has a reason for it, and it could be that reason is that he told Abraham that I'm going to use you as an instrument of blessing for the world. Wow, wow. And you hear me say that constantly, but I think that is such a powerful verse to keep in your side pocket, you know, to tell your Jewish friends, oh, which reminds me, tell your Jewish friends that, what do you think of God telling Abraham that he was going to use the Jewish people, Abraham and his physical descendants, as an instrument of blessing for the world, you know? A lot of people won't know. By the way, I forgot to mention that if you are interested in coming to a workshop of sorts on Thursday, November 13th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., it's in the SBC Fountain Hills Ministry Center in Fountain Hills, and I'm going to teach on how to share Jesus with your Jewish friends. So that's.
Is that the larger building on the closer to Rio Verde, or the smaller building where Bobby Brewer used to be?
It's not Bobby Brewer's, it's the other one. But I think it's on the other side. I think it's on the east side of when you come down Fountain Hills Boulevard.
On that campus.
Yeah.
The larger campus.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that for sure, Randy?
I don't, but I'm familiar with the campus.
Yeah, because we got lost last time.
It used to be like a charter school, so right across the church. There used to be a charter school, and sadly, there's a liquor shop right across the street, so
okay.
It's right there. It's like
yes.
The church, the building, and the liquor shop.
Okay, and the liquor shop. Okay.
It's a street marker.
Okay, thank you, Christy. But, you know, talking about end times and the books, the major prophets, the minor prophets, when you go through those, they're all talking about end times. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, even the minor prophets, Daniel, you can go through all of them and they're talking about end times. And when you read Isaiah 66:22, and it is in the third paragraph down page one, God is declaring, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord," and he's talking to Israel now, "so shall your descendants and your name remain." That's through the new heavens and the new earth and the New Jerusalem. That's through the eternal state. That is huge. Why? Because, again, he's using Israel as an instrument of blessing for the world, and they are going to remain in that state. God says it. But why is Israel so significant? Like you said, Michelle, the Messiah was promised to them. And through whom would the Messiah come? Israel, okay? And Genesis 12, verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you," Abraham he's speaking to, "and his physical descendants, and I will curse those who curse you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed." John 4:22, Jesus told the woman at the well, "Salvation is of the Jews." Yeshua's Hebrew name, Yeshua, means salvation. Galatians 4:4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, obligated to obey the law." And he did, of course. Okay, that's all pretty significant. So how did Simeon know about the consolation of Israel? I want to at least get through this. How did Simeon know about the consolation of Israel?
The Holy Spirit revealed it.
The Holy Spirit, yeah. Okay, but was there something in the Old Testament, huh?
It's right
there.
Yeah. It's 40, 1 through 2.
Right. Because especially with consoling, comforting, the word comfort, Isaiah 41-2, and it's in your handout. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Okay, who wrote this now? Isaiah, right? Being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah spoke, lived and spoke 700 to 800 years before Jesus' time, okay? Cry out to her, that speak comfort to Jerusalem. And Isaiah is speaking very much so to his brethren, yes, the Jewish people, but also to the other prophets. Because in that day, there were a lot of false prophets giving bad information to the Jewish people. But he's speaking to them, speak as well. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. That's present tense. Just think of that. That her iniquity is pardoned. Okay? I mean, warfare. Israel has always had, as we're reading through the history books, always in war with this tribe, that tribe, etc. And her iniquity is pardoned. The iniquity being pardoned that they would know, that we know, is through Jesus, and Jesus hadn't come as yet, but it's in the present tense. And then Isaiah says, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's what they will receive, double. The pardoning will be double for all their sins. That's what that means. That's kind of a hard phrase to understand. But here we've got two present tenses, and really she has received, really it's a past tense there. How can that be? We got too many tenses in that passage.
Is that looking forward to the second coming, when Messiah does come back to earth and rescues the remnant and defends Jerusalem against the onslaught?
I think, as far as her warfare is ended, because they won't know peace until the millennial kingdom. Yeah. Yeah, but as far as her iniquity is pardoned, when Jesus returns, you know, that's the basis of the pardoning of their iniquity, right? And that she has received from the Lord's hand double. And double, the word double in the Hebrew means folded over. So if you have a paper, and if you have on one side that it's written, your debt is written, and you fold it over, and there's the payment for that debt, it's the same size. So it shows that the payment covers the whole debt. That's what that means, okay? Because I always had a confusion with that as well.
Kathy, mm-hmm. The Blue Bible, the word double is capitalized also.
Oh, double is capitalized. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Michelle?
When I like read that, because of all the tenses, it makes me think of that, I don't know the word for it, but there's a word for the writing of how when in biblical writing, when they write in past tense, but it hasn't happened historically.
Yeah, perfect. It's probably
that they're writing to say it's so certain that they can write as if it's already happened. Like we know.
Yeah.
They know that it's so certain that God will make this happen.
Right.
That they can write as if it's already happened.
Right.
And there's a word for that.
Well, yes, like past perfect, present perfect.
Yeah,
it's in the perfect whatever. But who? Look who's talking. God is saying. God is saying, speak comfort. Her warfare is in His mind. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
That it's all done. It's completed. God knows the end from the beginning. So it goes along with what you're saying, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's done. It's done. And it's assured. And sometimes as human beings, we sort of doubt at times, right? When we read about Jesus, most assuredly, and some people might come away with thinking, yeah, right. No, don't say yeah, right. It's most assuredly. Yeah, yeah. Okay, the previous chapters, this is the consolation of Israel had come to be used as a messianic title. the previous chapters, and this is in your handout towards the bottom, the previous 39 chapters of Isaiah were filled with very strong tones of judgment and warning. You've read Isaiah, right? And it's a very hard book, isn't it? There was a time when I was having devotions, I would go through Isaiah and then Proverbs and then a New Testament chapter. But Isaiah, when I finished Isaiah, I would go back to Isaiah. And I did this for a couple year stretch. And yeah, strong tones of judgment and warning. And then Isaiah 39 ends with this announcement that, well, Babylon is coming. And he's going to conquer you. He's going to take your people into exile. He's going to take them captive into Babylon. So now, when chapter 40 begins, it begins with comfort. Yes, comfort my people. And that's why at the Hanukkah Christmas celebration, we always start it with the Handel's Messiah, Comfort Ye. And this year we're going to have also every, if you're familiar with Handel's Messiah, every valley is going to be sung right after that.
The chapel is going to present Handel's Messiah this Christmas as a concert. So you're all welcome to.
When is that going to be?
It'll be the right before Thanksgiving.
It's November, is it 23rd?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta write that down.
Yeah.
So 20.
I have to say now.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
So.
Christina Blubar, which is the wife of Jill Blubar, who's in charge of instrumental at our church, they're together putting this on.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, each of her children, with Joe, they each probably play 10 musical instruments. It's most amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
What time?
Huh?
The time?
The time of the concert?
It'll be 9 and 11.
You probably need to get here at 5.
Oh, that's on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, so if we're sitting in the worship center, are we going to see it at least?
No.
Okay.
Well, they wouldn't. And we're not going to have any Christmas concert today in the big worship center this year.
Okay.
So the chapel is going to.
Well, you know what? Maybe that'll bring more people out to the Hanukkah Christmas celebration. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm looking. Well. I'm looking for a lot of things talent-wise right now. So we come to chapter 40 of Isaiah, and the tone totally shifts from the judgment and the warning, and now it's comfort ye. And you see that shift going all the way to Isaiah 66. From chapter 40 to Isaiah 66, we read of the Messiah, and the theme is consolation. So Zechariah, with whom we started in his benediction from Luke about his son, and actually more than just his son, the whole history of Israel, he knew full well about this too, because, and I want to get back to a point in, let me see, we're going to go all the way to 2 and the middle of 2, but don't look at it yet. I shouldn't say these things. But Elizabeth, think of Elizabeth. We're in this handout where I'm mentioning Zechariah, Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna. But Elizabeth, his wife, Zechariah's wife, she had been visited by whom? Who visited her? Mary. Mary, it looks like Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Gabriel visited Mary. And Gabriel had told Mary that you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And I'm sure she told Elizabeth that. And when Elizabeth heard the very greeting of Mary, it says in verses 41 through 44 of Luke 1, The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is amazing, isn't it? Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me," Elizabeth is saying, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." I'm so glad we sang, "How great my joy." Yeah. God, the Holy Spirit, right? Right? "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things, of those things which were told her from the Lord." So, why do I have to my, okay. I want to read Isaiah 43-5. And you do not have it.
Yeah,
oh, you do? Okay, great. That's where we be. All right. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." This is right after we read, "Comfort, comfort my people." Then it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted." I'm listening to Handel's Messiah, right, as I'm reading this. "And every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Who is this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness?
John.
It's John. So Zechariah knew that, and when we read that benediction from Zechariah, he knows these passages because they were written, they've been around for a while, 700, 800 years before Jesus. Now, this is where I want to end. Have you heard or read that Isaiah has been called the Bible in miniature? Okay. How many have not heard that it's the Bible in miniature? All right. This is how it's the Bible in miniature, and it's bold. It's condensed right in almost the middle of your page 2. The Bible contains how many books?
66.
Isaiah 1 through Isaiah 39 speak of the message of the Old Testament. Right. How many books are in the Old Testament?
39.
Isaiah 40 through Isaiah 66 speak of the message of the New Testament. How many books are in the New Testament? 39 plus 27 equals 66 books.
Oh. Bible math.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it first from the president, the CEO, the director of, Kathy. Christian Jew Foundation in Texas, because I was working with one of the missionaries under that organization here in Arizona, and that was my first experience in getting involved, other than independently Jewish ministry. But then I worked as a church caller for Barry Berger. So. Any questions? Because we're going to have to stop in 4 minutes, so I don't want to continue. We'll continue next week with the bottom part of 2 and into some more. Al?
I finished a job this last Friday, 2 days ago. I was in his home for 2 weeks. Jewish guy from Massachusetts, has a home in Terravita. I was there and got to know him. And he is the Jewish man that tries to hide his Jewish origin. But I could tell he was Jewish. So one day I took him to lunch, and I prayed over our lunch, and I mentioned, my Savior is Jewish. And he said, "So am I." I said, "I know that." "How do you know?" I said, "I know that." And so for 2 weeks I had the opportunity to share different key things like you're talking about today, Isaiah, and that. And he has no idea about all that.
Yeah.
He's completely blind.
Yeah.
That God's word is so revelatory about the Messiah, the hope that we can have in him. He had none of that.
Yeah.
So it really, now she hired me to come back to do another week in the spring when his wife's here.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And they're both Jewish. So God works in, even through guys like me. Yeah.
Invite him to Handel's Messiah.
What's that?
Invite him to Handel's Messiah.
They won't be here.
Oh.
He's going back to Massachusetts.
Okay.
And then he'll bring his wife.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Praise God. Great opportunities God's given you with Jewish people. Yeah, in your business. Bobby?
2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I know. 2 minutes. Okay. Who wants to speak fast and mention something, ask a question? Is this exciting when we're seeing the connection?
This is my reading material on the plane.
Yeah.
I want to read that whole.
Yeah, because you're getting ready to go. Yeah.
I'll be here next week.
Okay.
And then I'll be playing on the following weekend.
Okay, yeah. Great. So
yeah, you can get through airports, right?
No problem.
Good. So, well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. How rich it is. How so much of a one story it is. And we praise you that we can know your word better through knowing this one story. Lord, we pray that we would take hold, and as we take hold of perhaps specific verses, that you would use those in our lives to share with Jewish people that you bring into our lives. Lord, we pray for your power, your strength, your peace to be demonstrated in and through us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've already had a couple of inquiries about